You know, one of the things I'm always saying is that if this country is going to get better, if this country is going to go on the right path, we have to step up as a community. Veterans are the sleeping giant in this country, and it is time for us to step up. That's why I want to talk to you about the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. Now, you might have thought about the Citadel in the past as this Corps of Cadets, this military institution, but they have programs for veterans that don't involve you joining the Corps of Cadets, don't involve you wearing a uniform every day, and don't involve you living a military lifestyle. If you want to do that, great. But if that's not what you're up for right now after your military career, then you don't have to do that. And you can access some of the best programs in the world. The Citadel has some hot degrees in intelligence, tactical strength and conditioning, engineering, and project management. And there's five student type options for veterans. There's graduate college, there's evening undergraduate, there's active duty students, non-cadet day program, returning cadet veterans, and online programs. The academic offerings include undergraduate, graduate, college transfer, graduate certificates, and online degrees. Veterans have access to every single academic degree the college offers, and they have the most flexibility when it comes to their schedule. They can major in anything offered to the cadets and would take those classes during the day with the cadets. But then there's other programs offered in the evening or online, and graduate programs to choose from too, to make things so flexible for you. The U.S. World and News Report has named the Citadel the number one college for veterans in the South. And for veterans who choose to take classes on campus, they get to be a civilian student in a military environment. They don't have to wear uniforms, like I said before. They don't have to join the military culture of the Corps of Cadets. The atmosphere is a really good transition environment from military to civilian life. There's an organic mentorship that comes from taking classes with the cadets. The cadets want to talk to you guys. They want to hear your stories. They want to know what it was actually like to be in the military. A lot of these men and women are going to go on to serve as officers in the military, and they're going to exact change, and they need to hear from you guys. You also get access to the Citadel's alumni network. Like I said, this is one of the most illustrious institutions in the world, and when you join the Citadel and you graduate, you're part of their alumni network. That includes so many leaders. It includes so many business leaders, so many leaders from the military, and so many leaders from the government. The college's core values of honor, duty, and respect align with veteran culture. They align with who you are, and it's something that you're not going to get anywhere else in this country. There is tons of special assistance for veterans at the Citadel, and whether you're a veteran or active duty military personnel, you can take advantage of these programs. You also get access to the Veteran Student Success Center, the Career Center, the Academic Success Center, the Student Veteran Association, and all campus clubs. If you want to play rugby, you could do that. If you want to lift weights, you could do that. You get access to everything that the students get. There's fellowship opportunities. There's tons and tons of financial assistance. So if you're interested in getting a degree from the Citadel and building your life, head over to citadel.edu/veterans.
This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's a solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason: to live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
You know, if you were to look at the life of Theodore Roosevelt from the perspective of reading his resume, you'd probably think this is a guy who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, who never encountered any adversity. He graduated from Harvard. He was born into one of the most illustrious families and well-to-do families in the state of New York. He got into politics relatively easily, became a New York State Assemblyman. After that, He went to work in the federal government as a civil service commissioner. He eventually became vice president. And then after the assassination of President McKinley, he became the youngest ever president of the United States. I mean, it reads like something out of a fairy tale. But if you actually study the life of Theodore Roosevelt, you see that he overcame some things that most of us would have crumbled in the face of. He was born asthmatic, and he was a very sickly child. He was skinny. He was constantly in bed, constantly going through these fits. And his father had to sit him down one day and tell him, you know, you're not going to naturally be strong. If you want to be strong, if you want to be the kind of man who is going to do big things in this world, you need to build your body. You need to make your body, I think is the words he used. And Teddy became fascinated with that. So he dedicated himself to fitness. He dedicated himself to making himself as hard as possible. And today he's known for his energy, for his ability to hike and to be an outdoorsman, to be an avid hunter, for his practice of martial arts like judo, jiu-jitsu, and boxing. And we tend to think of that when we think of Teddy Roosevelt, right? We don't look at the resume, so to speak. One of the other things about Teddy Roosevelt, however, is that he's also somebody who's faced great loss in his life. When he was 22, he married a young girl that he fell in love with. Her name was Alice Lee. And they had a baby together, but shortly after the baby was born, 3 days after, and 2 years after he married Alice, Alice passed away. And Theodore was at the age of 24. And not only did Alice pass away that day, only hours before, his mother passed away in the same house. Now, I couldn't imagine this. You lose your mother, you lose your young wife all on the same day, and you're left as a very young man at the age of 24, as a single father, and lots of loneliness, I can imagine. As far as this story, I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt, and it's by Edmund Morris. And it's an actual excellent book. And the reason I want to bring this up is because in the human condition, there's a few things that are true. We are all going to die someday. But more importantly, you know, and what's probably going to have a greater effect on us because, you know, we're not here after we die, is that we're going to lose others. We're going to experience loss. We're going to experience grief. And there's a lot of you out there in this audience who've had experience with this, who have lost loved ones, who have lost brothers in arms, who have lost friends. And it's one of those things that when it comes up in your life, it could break you. It could take away every single thing that you once had. It could take away your joy, take away your happiness, take away your sense of security, right? Because you start to realize that every single one of us is vulnerable to death. And then you begin to dwell on it. You begin to think about that person constantly. Their thoughts haunt you. The fact that they're not there haunts you. And then when the happier times come up in your memories, all of a sudden they get marred away by this black feeling, this feeling that you're never going to see that person again. It's tough. It's one of the hardest parts about being a human being, a conscious human being who understands death and who understands loss. And I think that looking at the lives of great men and great people who have experienced tragedy, who have experienced this condition, I think that it's important for us to look to them to see ways that we could get around it ourselves. Now, another thing about Teddy Roosevelt is that he didn't just lose his mother. He didn't just lose his young wife. He also lost his brother at a very young age. His brother was an alcoholic, and Teddy and his sister did every single thing they could to intervene, to try to get him sober, to try to get him on a path where he could live his life in a productive manner. And Teddy and his brother Elliot were extremely close when they were young. And when Teddy was in his 30s, his brother took his own life. I believe he jumped out of a window. And again, you see what helped Teddy to overcome these losses. The thing about Theodore Roosevelt was that he wasn't one to dwell. You could see that these things affected him greatly. He was extremely sad. For a time, he couldn't even look at his daughter, Alice, the daughter he had with his first wife. But rather than dwelling on the situation, he got back to work. He got back to work as a New York State Assemblyman as soon as possible. And then he continued taking trips out west. He became a cattle rancher. He filled up his bucket with productive things. Now, there's healthy aspects of what he did, and there's unhealthy aspects of what he did. Let me tell you about those unhealthy ones, because I think that there's some things here that we shouldn't be doing that Teddy did himself. One of those things was he never spoke of his late wife again. He tore her name out of all of his journals. He wouldn't speak her name. When he eventually went on to write his autobiography, he did not even mention her. And that was his way of dealing with grief, right? He pushed things down so far that they were nearly inaccessible. He wouldn't bring them up. He wouldn't tolerate anybody else bringing them up. He wouldn't talk about the situation. He still had a relationship with his late wife's parents because he wanted his daughter to know their grandparents, her grandparents, but he did not dwell on her memory at all. And that's unhealthy. You know, a lot of times when you push things down and you don't bring them up and you don't allow yourself to feel the grief in any capacity whatsoever, well, that grief's going to come up at some point, right? So that's probably something we don't want to do. We don't want to push it down so far that we're trying to hide it from ourselves, because you can't run from yourself. You can't run from your own conscience. But what you can do is you can keep going with life. And this is something that Teddy did. Like I said, he dove back into his work as a New York State Assemblyman. He went out and he did his cattle ranching. He dedicated himself to writing books, right? He was a noted author in history, and he continued on with life. And that's the thing, guys. We have to remember that this world is bigger than us, and it's bigger than our loss. And it's going to keep going with us or without us. And so, given that fact, we need to continue with our lives as much as we can. That's not to say that you push that grief down. It's not to say that you don't go through the grieving process, you don't remember them. It's not to even say that you need to be in a really good mood, right? Because you're obviously not going to be. But when these things come up, we cannot take it as a license to put our lives on hold. We cannot take it
to as a license to throw our lives off the rails. We can't dive into alcohol. We can't dive into drugs, because all that's going to do is it's going to numb us. And just like pushing that grief down really far, that's only going to lock us in with the ghosts in our own head. But what needs to happen is we need to begin making new lives. We need to begin dedicating ourselves to a purpose, to something with meaning. And that's something that I've brought up time and again based on the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Right? Frankl was a Jew who spent 3 years in a Nazi concentration camp, experienced loss beyond human comprehension, right? Lost his entire family, lost friends, lost everything. And yet he was able to keep going because he was able to derive meaning from his experience and meaning from his existence. And so one of the lessons we can take from that is something that Teddy Roosevelt did himself. He dedicated himself to a higher purpose. He dedicated himself to something that was bigger than him, bigger than his life, and bigger than his loss. And that's where we need to be. When we experience these things, when we experience death, even when we experience things like financial loss, when we're at our wit's end, we need to find something that's bigger than us. We need to realize how small we actually are in this world. And we need to bring meaning to this life, new meaning. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, how do you do that? What can I do right now that would take me out of this situation, that would allow me to bring meaning to this life? And it's tough to say, because this is different for everybody, right? For me, my meaning is derived from doing this podcast, from helping this community, from doing everything I can to promote the idea of veterans taking active roles in their own lives. And that was a meaning that I came across. It kind of illuminated itself to me when I came out of my own bad state. Right? I was living out of my car prior to starting this podcast. I was in a really rough place, and I saw something out there that I wanted to help with, something out there that I thought I could lend my hand to. And there's a lot of opportunities like this in this world today, particularly with what we're going through right now. You might not be able to find surface meaning in the situation, or from your job, or from whatever's happened with work since this whole situation began. But that might be because you're not looking for it. There's people out there who need your help. There's a society out there that needs fixing. There is a whole world of opportunities to make this world a better place. So one way to start is by taking some sort of action in trying to do so. And if you still can't see that, one of the other things I invite you to do is again, and I say this over and over again, to begin reading. To begin reading about others' lives. Men like Teddy Roosevelt, right? Men like John D. Rockefeller. People, women like Mother Teresa, right? Read about other human beings. There is so much that you can learn from doing so. So much you can learn about life. So much you can learn about this world. So much you can learn about other people. And honestly, so much you can learn about yourself. Because when you do realize what other people went through in other times, you realize exactly how your situation is probably not that much different, or probably not that much worse, and actually probably that much better than so many people who went on to do great things. So that's all I got for you guys today. I hope that makes sense. I hope that you all experience happiness and joy and meaning in your lives. And in those situations where you do experience loss, hope that you choose to allow it to let you grow rather than allowing it to break you. And with that, guys, we'll be back at you next week with some more awesome content. This is Chris Halbert with the Warrior Soul Podcast, and I am out.